I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios in New York. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We're rolling in the hockey and hoop playoffs. PharrellOnTheBench.com is. Great picks, great price, great return. PharrellOnTheBench.com has it all. Every pick, every play, every day, everything that's on the board, I give you it all. Killer price, great return. So get in on it. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Episode 203. Pharrell on the Bets, my Westwood One sports betting podcast, is tomorrow morning on iTunes, Google Play, and WestwoodOnePodcast.com. Subscribe and follow on Twitter at On the Bets, WWO. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4. CBS is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to Geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. So anyway, the Warriors game is an utter disaster. It's a blowout, 117-86, still 7 minutes left of this drudgery. So Durant sat down with 38, 14 of 23, 3 threes, 7 of 8 from the line, 4 boards, 7 dimes, a steal, and a huge block shot. Curry's got 21. And that's really all that matters. Iggy had 15. Looney, double figures, 10 points. Clay had 12. Green, 8. And 6 rebounds, 10 dimes for Green. A steal and 2 blocks. Another night of, Green just getting it all done. You don't even notice him racking up the rebounds and dimes, do you? Because you got these guys like Durant and Curry scoring. You don't notice all the work Green does, all that dirty work. So there you go. I was looking at this story. The argument against all these title contenders, what's wrong with them? And here's what they said about it. I saw this in Bleacher Report or something. The Celtics have poor chemistry. Yeah, they looked like they had poor chemistry in that two-game sweep of the Pacers in Boston, the first 2 games of that series. The Nuggets, lack of seasoning, it says here. What is that, like some kind of a dinner joke? What does that mean? Oh, playoff seasoning. They don't have enough success in the postseason. The Warriors are too top-heavy. Where does this guy come up with this stuff?
Come on.
I mean, honestly, I can't even do this.
I mean, seriously.
I can't even do it.
What do they say about the Bucks?
Oh, it says
I want to get somebody else mad. At least have somebody else on the bad list up there. What's the Bucks' weakness?
It says they're dying by the three.
Wow.
3-point defense is weak. But they are one of 8 different playoff teams to finish in the top 10 in 3-point makes. It's just that they rank dead last in opponents' 3-point makes and attempts. They're surrendering wide-open threes more than anyone.
Sounds like a lot of charts and graphs to me. We'll see what happens on the court.
James Harden continues his torrid streak as the Rockets rout the Jazz again in Houston. They took both games in Houston. Are you willing to go there at all that the Rockets are the team? Won't they play the Warriors in the next round?
They will.
Do you think they could beat them?
No.
I think they have a shot.
I do not. Nobody has a shot.
Nobody has a shot at all.
Precisely.
Mafia, I think the Rockets have a shot against the Warriors. I think they definitely have a shot.
I think they do, too. I think it's a tight shot. It's not exactly a great shot. It's not like I'm, it's a 50-50 series or anything like that. I'll say it's a, 30% chance. As long as Harden and those guys stay healthy, that's a big thing. CP3's got to be healthy and be able to play the whole series. Harden's got to do his thing.
Capella.
With Boogie out. I know that we're looking at, we think about him as a scorer and pretty much that's it, but his presence in there defensively is imposing for a lot of people. I think their bigs are going to be able to do a lot more against Bogut, Looney,
Fareed,
than they would have been.
And Fareed and Capella are going to do whatever they want against, you know, that defense.
Yeah, they're a lot more athletic than those two.
With Looney and Bogut, they can do damage. I really believe that.
And, of course, you know, all we think about is CP3 and Harden on that team because they do most of the scoring, but both those guys are great at also driving and dishing to the big men or doing the pick and roll.
There's no doubt. I mean, they're a dangerous team. They certainly think that they can beat them. I mean, they're talking big now already, right?
They had great success during the regular season against them.
They did, and D'Antoni's been saying it now, too. Did he not just say that we can beat anybody? And literally, he said, we're the best team, and we can beat anybody. He did. That's what D'Antoni said about him.
Every coach tells their team that. We can beat anybody. Not that team.
Any given day, right?
I think they can beat anybody. I actually think, and they've proven they can beat the Warriors this year, in even in Oracle.
Regular season.
It means nothing.
Zero.
So it's just all a giant waste of time.
When you really get down to it, the only reason why we're here for all these games is to gamble. I mean, that's all we're here for.
So Josh Rosen, there's a lot of people now getting him to talk about the situation with him in Arizona. He's broken his silence. He did an SITV interview, and it was during a trip he took with some friends of his and teammates at UCLA, is that right, that went to the Grand Canyon. Hope they had a nice time. He has remained quiet about his future, but now he's been talking. I think the best advice I've ever gotten in my life from so many different people is control what you can control. And whatever decisions are made, it's my duty to prove them right if they keep me and prove them wrong if they ship me off. I think probably, the season probably went as poorly as it could possibly go. But within that, I had an unbelievable time. I think when people talk about, like, you can't listen to criticism or you can't read articles, you have to be aware of what's going on to a certain extent. I definitely understand the situation. It's annoying, but it is what it is. Football's a business, and I respect the higher-ups and their decisions. We won 3 games, and each of those wins, to me, felt like the Super Bowl. We had won it, and that feeling is so intoxicating, and that's why I just want nothing more to be part of a team next year and have the same opportunities to go out and compete. Have you ever felt like that guy cared about football when he was at UCLA? Now he's claiming that he suddenly has a rush from winning 3 games in the NFL, that it's intoxicating. He seemed like he was bored with football to me in Westwood. And at the Rose Bowl, he never looked into it to me. And now, like, he didn't even look into it to me in the NFL. He seemed like he's bored with the whole thing. Are you willing to say that I might have something there? Like, he has never looked to me like he gives a rat's ass.
And that was one of the biggest knocks on him going into the draft last year, was he looked like a kid that didn't care about football, that it didn't really matter to him, that it was secondary. And look, I think that, honestly, the kid can play. Obviously, it didn't look great this year. It's partially, you know, who he played for. I also think it's wrong what's going on with him now. I really do. We talk about this all the time, how these kids get drafted in the first round. Some of them get thrown into the mix a little too quickly. You know, sometimes these guys are going to take a couple of years before they're at the top of their game. Kid plays 1 year, and then, you know, first offseason he's in the NFL, it's, well, they're getting rid of him, and they're going to draft this guy instead. I mean, what's going through the kid's head?
It's never happened before ever in the history since the 70 merger where a number one draft pick got traded the next year.
Right.
From the team that drafted him number one.
I don't care how bad he looked at times with that team, which was awful this year. Giving up on him after one season is just – I've said it the whole time. I think it's ludicrous. I think they're stupid if they trade Rosen and take Murray with the first pick overall. I think they're dumb.
Have you heard these rumors that the team that wants him is the Chargers?
I could see that. Rivers can't play forever.
Right, so that they want to get him so that when Rivers is done, he's the man.
All these teams.
Do you think that guy wants to go stand on a sideline now and be a backup?
I think that he'd be just fine with it for a year.
Rosen?
Here's the thing. All these teams that have had quarterbacks for a long time.
That guy's not done in 1 year.
None of them have been in the position to get a top 10 talent like Josh Rosen. The Patriots, the Chargers, The Giants, you know, well, Giants obviously
the
were
Redskins,
there last year.
The Redskins, all those teams.
All these teams, you know, well, you know, those, I'm talking more your elite quarterbacks for last year. The Saints, you know, Breeze, Rivers, Brady, all those guys. Now you have a chance to get a guy that just went in the first round a year ago.
Right.
And you could get him for, even if it's a second round
pennies
pick,
on the dollar.
I mean, and then you have the heir apparent to possibly to a guy that maybe has a couple years left, but you give Josh Rosen a year with Phillip Rivers or with Tom Brady or with Drew Brees or any of these guys, like, you tell me that wouldn't be great for him?
Do you think Rivers is done in 1 year?
I mean, okay, two, three.
How many years, Mafia, do you think Phillip Rivers has left in him?
Two. I mean, you don't realize how old. I mean, he came in the same time as Big. We've been talking about for 2 years about Big Ben possibly being done. About Eli, like those guys were all in the same draft. He's the same age as those guys. He's performed better than them the last year or two, probably. I mean, Big Ben's performed well throughout this, you know, last two seasons, but Eli's been fit trailing. He's at late 30s with those guys.
We saw it with Manning. We've seen it with other guys. It can all of a sudden just go.
Right. Well, I don't know. I feel like he's got my guess is he's got four seasons left in him. That's what I think he can play four more years. How old is he, 36?
If you think he could play four more years, then that's not a deal that I would make. I would make a deal if I'm the Patriots.
Does that guy look to you? I'm just asking, being honest. Seriously.
37.
Okay, he's 37. All right, so one guy.
He's 38 during the season.
Okay, fine. Tom Brady's 100, and he still plays like he's 30.
Tom Brady's a machine.
Okay, well, so is Phillip Rivers. I think Phillip Rivers is, that guy's as tough as anyone in the league. Is he not he's a badass.
He's tough, but. I don't think that he'll be playing when he's 41, 42
years old.
Do
you think he has taken so much abuse, Phillip Rivers, that he can't keep playing? Because he looks like Ben Roethlisberger, to me, has taken a lot of abuse.
Taking a lot of hits.
I don't feel that
way. Eli looks kind of shot.
I don't feel that way about Phillip Rivers.
Rivers is also only signed through this season.
Trust me, you. If you think that they're getting rid of Phillip Rivers in Los Angeles after this season, you must be tripping. Like, seriously, you don't think he's playing there for three or four more years? Or at least two? I said four. You guys say two. You don't think they're going to pick that guy up for another year or two?
I'm sure they will.
You're sure they will? Like, you have no doubt. I don't see any reason why they would stop playing Phillip Rivers for any reason whatsoever. Maybe he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Maybe he doesn't like the move to L.A.
I think he's adapted, hasn't he, to that whole nightmare?
Guy drives back and forth to San Diego every day. I mean,
didn't he put in some kind of crazy, like he's driving like some like conversion van with a bunch of video machines?
But how long can you
watch
do that?
His video
got eight kids at home?
He does. He watches video the whole time. Has he got a driver or something?
He's got a whole baseball team at home he's got to take care of at some point.
He's just had another kid. He's got nine now. He just had another baby, number nine, his wife. She's a machine, that woman. She's incredible.
Either way, I think the kid would be in a good spot if he sat for a couple of years behind a future Hall of Fame quarterback and get himself ready, because I think he could play in the league. I think he was thrown into a bad spot this year, and now they're screwing with him out there, making it even worse.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. But do you have any reservations that they're going to draft Murray?
Oh, I think it's possible. Where there's smoke, there's fire. We've heard too much of this now.
Right, so that
this happens
every
year.
So you think
year.
They're drafting him?
I think it's 50-50.
Mafia, what is your odds on them drafting Murray?
80-20.
Yeah, 80 that they are.
80 that they do, yeah.
I'm with you. I think they're going to do it, and they're going to trade this guy. Did you you heard the story about the video they released of their season with nothing of him in it? No Josh Rosen in the video at all. Why would they release something like that before the draft? Some video of their upcoming season, and he's not included in any of it? I mean, that's unbelievable to me. Does that not say at all? Seriously, I know that's probably not a reason it would happen, but it sure looks like it. I mean, honestly, didn't they do that with Davis in New Orleans? They had some kind of commercial or something, and they left him off of all of their banners and everything? The Pelicans? I think they did.
They did, yeah. They had a bunch of videos.
And then really quick, let me just say, what is St. John's doing, man? Honestly. They hired this guy that just got fired at Arkansas. Did he not prove, like, because he actually won down there, right? And then this year he didn't. Isn't that about right? Anderson, he finally had a bad season in Fayetteville, and then they fired him. Is he not a good coach or something? I don't know, but boy, is that just not does not make sense to me.
I mean, he's all the way down to what, fourth on their list.
What prompted them to go after this guy? Honestly,
everyone else saying no thanks.
Yeah, I guess. How did they end up with this guy? Because they had no other choice. Tim Clues turned him down. Everybody turned him down. It's unbelievable. St. John's is going to hell in a bucket.
They should have went and got Patino.
Do you think they'll take down this poster of St. John's here in the studio here? We are New York's team for how long? About 5 minutes?
I sure hope they
Their season's going down the drain as we speak. I mean, can you believe how far they've fallen in the last 2 weeks? Seriously, didn't they make the tournament, get their ass beat, and then they're... Now everyone's out. The coach is gone, Mullen, and now they tried to hire 5 people, and none of them wanted the job. Then they took some guy that got whacked down in Arkansas. It's unbelievable.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So I'm watching this old footage. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I never turned the hockey off. So I got NBC Sports Channel on, and they've had it on forever. And I'm watching this 70s NASCAR thing. Like, I don't know. Did you realize it was so rebel back then and so, like, Confederate and so crazy? Like, the pit changes were insane. There's guys getting, like, set on fire. Literally people getting run over. Guys jumping on the hoods of cars to, I don't even know what I'm watching. It's complete insanity. And on top of that, I noticed one thing in particular. You know, like, how they party in the... center of
in the middle of the track,
in the infield,
right?
Well, they just had it's always been the same. Like back in the day in the 70s, they still had that big barbecue scene in the infield, just partying ass. And I noticed that like 90% of the people were drinking Budweiser and Schlitz. There was nothing else. They were all literally every can of beer was Schlitz or Budweiser. Literally everyone. I just looked at it like a kegger party they had, and every single person there was drinking Budweiser and Schlitz.
They could absolutely use a guy today who jumps on cars and throws his helmet at people and does all that stuff. Like, they need that in the worst way because nobody cares and nobody knows who these guys are. So
nobody.
Zero.
It is really a problem now. Like, I don't know, because now they change the tires and do their pit crew stuff in, like, 5 seconds, and it's, like, it's so slick and savvy and quick and fast. You know what I mean? How, boom, the cars change the tires and rotate them and all this other stuff. Gas them up, right, and clean the windshield, and they're off and running, right? 5 seconds. Back in the day, literally what I'm seeing here, this footage of the 70s, there's, like, gas cans stuck in the car as the guy's driving out of the pits and the car's on fire. I mean, it is insane, this footage. I never thought I'd enjoy old NASCAR films. I'm kind of digging it. I mean, I could have sworn, I'm not even kidding you, I saw one of them drinking a beer, like, while driving, while racing. I'm not kidding.
That's something else somebody needs to do now. That would get him some attention.
Drinking while driving
yes.
in the race with a beer? How about if some guy pulled out an old can of Schlitz and popped it driving? Mafia's been known to do that with cans of Pabst Blue Ribbon. But only specifically, mostly when we're in Nevada, which is frequently. Thomas in New Mexico, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Oshagadu. Pharrell, love you. Love you, Carver High. You guys are the best show on the radio.
Thanks, dude.
Pharrell, I'm thinking of putting some money on the Warriors round. But against the Warriors. I think the Rockets are going to knock them out in the next round. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I think it's a very dangerous bet, obviously, but I am willing to go there with you because that's how desperate I am to see them beat the Warriors. I don't necessarily disagree with Carver High that there's no chance, but I feel as though I want it so desperately to happen that I want the Rockets to beat them so badly that I'm willing to, you know, bet on them in a few of these games. And hope to God they win it. I really do, because I truly believe, this is just me, I think that's the only team that can beat them. I don't think anyone else can beat them, except them. That's the only team that I give a shot to beating them. Carver High's already said no one has a chance at all. It's a done deal. Mafia says that the Rockets have an 80%. Is that what you told me? 80%
chance? 20%
chance. Oh, a 20% chance that they'll win.
Oh, no, no. I gave them a 30. The 80-20 was Rosen. Bruins getting traded 80%.
Oh, all right. There you go. And then what about you, Darwin? Do you give any – oh, you're a Celtic fanatic. Do they have a shot to go to the NBA Finals? Because, you know, Carver High picked the Celtics over the Bucks and got 1,000 death threats today.
Yeah, it seems like it's getting intense. But, no, I think the Celtics have a chance at it. If Smart comes back, I think that's key defensively going up against the Bucks and the Raptors. But, I mean, Milwaukee right now just seems like a juggernaut. I don't see anyone beating them right now.
Oh, so you like Milwaukee against the Warriors?
Yeah, yeah. And the Rockets would have a chance,
so you
think.
You're picking the Bucks over your Celtics?
If I had to lay it all out, I'd say Bucks-Rockets right now, to be honest. I think the Rockets last year within one game, Paul didn't play in that game seven, and the Warriors, despite what they did tonight, they blew a 31-point lead at home. That's no matter what, that's not a championship. I think the Rockets have a good chance to beat them this year.
I do too. So you're saying Rockets, Bucks?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow, that's awesome. That takes some stones right there, Carver. And look, he didn't have, and by doing that, I think he opened a door of wine and roses for him in the city of Milwaukee. I think a lot of people are going to like him there now, as opposed to you, who said they had no chance. And then you woke up to visions of your own murder.
It's okay. If nobody, you know, and Darwin being a Boston guy, being a Boston fan,
wow.
I thought he'd be with me on this.
I'm sorry.
I know there's plenty of people of our listeners in Boston who are with me on it. That's for sure.
Do you feel at any point?
But I can understand how Darwin get a little frightened off by some of the things that have gone on in Milwaukee today.
Do you feel as though that it's getting carried away a little bit with the, you know, you said that they're not going, they don't have a chance against Boston. And then,
I didn't say didn't have a chance.
Well, what did you say?
I said Boston's going to beat them.
Okay.
It's going to be 6-7 games. They're going to beat them.
All right. So they're just going to beat them. But you didn't say they were going to kill them or anything.
I didn't say they were going to get swept or anything.
So my question to you is not of any kind of doubt in your statement. It's, are you surprised that you woke up to all of this venom and hatred and death wishes and like that you're the public enemy number one? How could a guy...
From Boston.
Well, he likes the Hockey Islanders more than breathing.
Right.
He could care less about the NBA. This guy has no bones in the NBA. The guy can't stand basketball, basically. He's a hockey fanatic. And he said, I think the Bucks are going to lose. And then a day later, he's got 700,000 death threats.
One gentleman from Milwaukee tweeted me tonight, and he kind of put it in perspective a little bit.
He wished you well on Easter weekend.
He did. Well, no, this guy was actually nice to me.
God bless you.
He said that they're giving the Buck fans a bad name. I apologize. They're not used to this success, so now that they have it, they think that they're King Shaq. So
are they defending their fortress like Game of Thrones?
Correct.
Maybe?
They don't like that they're finally good for them.
Someone said something about the team, so it's your fault.
Was the last time the Bucks were this good?
The
80s.
With Luau Cinder.
Darwin, think about this. You know how awful, like in hockey, the Islanders have been? Since 1990, the Islanders have won more playoff series than the Milwaukee Bucks.
How about that?
So think about that one.
Yeah.
But I get it. They have a good team this year. They're very excited. And they're very defensive, it seems like, when all somebody has to do is say, you know what, I think that Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward and those guys are going to beat you in the second round, and that's a problem. You're not allowed to say that.
Not allowed to say that.
Without the zany morning crew over there in Milwaukee.
Not,
don't say anything to them.
They're not having it.
Can't have it. You can't have the opinion that you think that team might lose.
Some national
because
hack.
Because that's it.
Some
that's
national
it.
Hack on the radio everywhere.
You know, I got this one a bunch of times today, too. Do you even watch the Bucks out there on the East Coast, you know, with all those awful New York teams?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do watch the Bucks. They're really good, and they're going to lose
to
the Celtics.
He's got something there because I will admit, and I'm just going to say this once, that they don't have this problem in Milwaukee. When it rains here, we don't get to watch television
right,
in New York. So, no. You're right, Milwaukee. We don't get to watch the games at all because when it rains here at CBS, the TVs go out. And we don't get to watch anything at all. Although I do have porn on my cell phone.
The best part about this whole thing is all this conversation is irrelevant because none of them are beating the Warriors. It doesn't matter. None of them are beating the Warriors. And all these games suck. Look at them every night. They're awful to watch. So who cares anyway?
The hockey games are great.
Of course they are.
And the basketball games are all terrible.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4. CBS brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. You're styling with Geico. Here's a story that's bizarre. This Dan Ige, I don't even know who this is, but he's a UFC featherweight, and allegedly this all happened. He's 27. He's subject to random year-round drug testing from USADA. According to this guy, a blood collector visited his Las Vegas residence and asked for a blood sample today. After the collection process took place, the collector revealed she was not from USADA. He said, I was half asleep and just went through it. She took my blood. Afterwards, she's like, what's your name? I told her my name, and she goes, oh, you're not John? I'm like, what the Pharrell? No, I'm not John. The crazy thing was she walked out of my house with the blood, my blood. At the time, I wasn't thinking. I was just like, you're not here for me. Get out of my house. My main thing now is that I want to get my blood back or get proof that it was destroyed. I don't want my blood just floating out there. Then there, it turns out there was a John allegedly in his neighborhood that was getting blood work done by a private lab today, and the collector visited that guy after visiting him by mistake. He said he's been in contact with the lab, but the status of the blood sample has not been resolved. And then the UFC told him to file a police report. He said, it's crazy. Who else comes to my door at 6 a.m. and wants blood or urine? I didn't think about it. I didn't want to get anyone in trouble, so this is for my peace of mind. I don't want to have a clone out there or end up in a crime scene. Can you even believe that? How in God's name does some chick come to your door at 6 in the morning and takes blood from you and she's at the wrong house? And then this all happened. Like, how does that even happen?
That's crazy.
That is crazy. I would, I don't know, sue them? Like, how is this chick screw that up that bad? She goes to the wrong house and then just injects some dude and takes his blood and then leaves with it? It's the wrong house.
But how do you not ask the name before you do it?
Like, honestly. Tom Coughlin is digging a hole for himself. Did you see that what he did was illegal? Now they're saying that he
said that he was upset that players didn't come, but it's a voluntary workout.
It's a voluntary workout, and he bashed Jalen Ramsey and linebacker Telvin Smith. Which one do you think's upset that he was named? Jalen Ramsey?
He's always upset. So.
He's always upset about something. So the CBA says it's illegal to mention anything about a player not showing up for voluntary workouts. Is it true, do you think, that the Patriots are excited? They want Daniel Jones. Are you believing that? The kid out of Duke, that's who they want to take as Tom Brady's replacement?
I'll believe it when they draft him.
All right. Tough stretches for the Rams in their schedule this season, it says here.
Not as tough as Tampa.
Is that right?
I think that's the next one after that.
Oh, you mean the Browns?
No, there's one in there about Tampa's schedule, which is just an absolute joke.
Oh, is that right? Well, I don't actually see that at all. So anyway, there you go. All I know is I have this story about the Rams' schedule. They plenty of important games, it says here. Right out of the gate, they have three tough games. They open up, have a road game against the Panthers, and then they started 6-2 last year before Newton got hurt and then went downhill. In week two, the Rams have a rematch with the Saints. Right after that heavyweight slugfest, the Rams have to turn around and play the Browns on Sunday Night Football. There you go. But once they get back from their bye week following their week 8 London game against the Bengals, things get tough again. They have to go on the road to play the Steelers. And then after that, the Rams host the Bears on Sunday Night Football. All very exciting. I'm sure a lot of people think the Rams are going back to the Super Bowl because Sean McVay is a genius.
Well, here's what I was talking about with the Bucs. They play a home game on September 22nd in Tampa.
Right. They don't go back there for a month.
November 10th.
How is that possible?
They play road games against the Rams, Saints. Then they go to London to play the Panthers, which is technically a home game
right.
for them. And then they go to play Tennessee and Seattle. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, I guess 5, 6 games or 6 weeks, whatever it is. And they travel a total of 20,000 miles during that span. And they do not play a game in Raymond James Stadium from September 22nd to November 10th.
And then how many games do they play there after that?
They have a couple after. And one of the guys who's part of the schedule making said today in an interview, if we had to do it over, if we had a redo, I'd like to take another shot at fixing the Tampa schedule. They know that they screwed him on that one.
The toughest schedules, it says here, for the upcoming season, the Raiders have the toughest schedule. Then the Broncos, Jaguars, Texans, Bears, and Chiefs. They don't even consider Tampa Bay one of the toughest schedules. Meanwhile, they don't play at home for 7 weeks. Do you see what I have here? I have the spreads, allegedly, from the Vegas Super
Bowl. Week 1.
Week 1 spreads. Thursday Night Football, Packers at Bears, Chicago -3.5.
I'll take the Bears.
Here you go. Bills at Jets, Jets -3.5. There you go. Week 1. You like
that? Yeah, getting 3.5 here in week 1.
3.5 in New York. You like
I got
it?
A double tailgate weeks 1 and 2. The Bills are at MetLife week 1 and week 2.
Oh, and week 2 they play the Giants?
Yeah, Jets, Giants, back-to-back weeks at MetLife.
There you go. Rams -2.5 at the Panthers. There you go. How about this one? Steelers at Pats. Pats -6. And then Monday night football doubleheader. Houston at New Orleans. New Orleans -7.5. Broncos at Raiders. Raiders favored by 2.5. Those are week 1 spreads. Very exciting. Chris Davis and the A's are in an agreement on a 2-year, $33.5 million deal. That guy's awesome. He hits tons of home runs.
Seriously, the guy led the majors in homers last year, and you're paying him, what, like less than 17 a year?
It is unbelievable that that guy doesn't make more money than he does with as many home runs as he hits. Pedroia back on the IL, right? And he's got more knee problems. Then they said he was fine today, but he's not. He's on the IL.
He's on the IL.
He has got serious issues. His career is, what, basically hanging in the balance? Like, right, he's finished, right? It seems that way.
I feel like he hasn't played in years as it is.
It's just he's hit a wall for sure. Al in Pittsburgh, how you doing?
Hey, Scotty. Great show as always, my man.
Thanks, brother.
Hey, I have a question for Carl Bahai. First, Carl Bahai, congratulations to the Islanders, man. I hope they make it to the finals. But I got to say, you are so wrong on the Warriors. They're going to lose. They play the Rockets in the second round, which is probably going to happen. They're going to go down. The team is going to stay on top for so long, and eventually somebody knocks them over.
I know, but you know what? You sound very confident about that. Like, everybody sounds so confident that they're going down, and meanwhile, they never lose to anybody. They lost a game in the playoffs. So what? They turned around and won by 40 tonight. Who cares? Did you see the story about your boy Letang today in Pittsburgh?
Yes, that's a good postseason interview he gave today, right?
Very friendly interview he did. I said, "You don't want me to make any mistakes. I'll try that. I'll try that next year. I'll try to make no mistakes at all." On if he would change his style, maybe next year you're gonna say, "Hey, we're having Chris on our lineup, and he doesn't want to do anything offensively. So now you're going to rip me apart because I don't produce anything."
Sounds like he was thrilled with the way the season ended.
Yeah, actually, it was fairly easy to rip you for your performance in the playoffs because you did absolutely nothing.
He's the guy, man. I know if you want to make any changes, I'd start right there.
I would too, but I doubt they will. I really do. I think they should trade him and Kessel, but I don't think they will trade Letang.
I think they will trade Kessel.
But they won't trade the other one.
They should.
They should, but they won't because they're in love with him. They love him and Crosby and Malkin like no other. I mean, they stood by Letang through everything. Didn't the guy have everything? Didn't he have a hole in his heart? Didn't he have a hole in his heart and they waited for him? Wasn't he supposed to be dead or something?
He definitely had a lot of things happen to him.
He was a really good player at one time, for sure. Jimmy in Cleveland.
That's Pharrell Sekadu.
Oshagadu.
You are Pharrell and awesome. You are the best show out there. Every night I stay up so late. I have to listen to you. If you should be like on much earlier, I can't stay up so late.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't do well earlier in the day or at any point. I'm only good after dark.
I can't go to sleep until I hear your whole show, though.
I believe that. It's hard for me. I can't go to sleep until I get done with it and get home, but I've been known to drive asleep going home.
I would ask for a drink, but I'm way too young, so maybe just get me a Sprite or something.
Can we get him a warm milk so he can get a good night's sleep?
Sounds good question.
There you go.
Are the Browns overrated? And also the Indians, do they have enough offense? They have a great starting pitching, but do they have enough offense to make it to the World Series?
They're certainly different this year offensively than I think when they had like Encarnacion and everything. I like this team. I still think they're a good team. They're a playoff team, if you ask me. But, I mean, there's a million games to go, so I'm not really worried about it. As far as the Browns go, I do think they're overrated. I think that, you know, they won seven games, and now everybody's got them winning 11, 12 games because they have Odell Beckham. I'm just not buying it. I mean, that's like saying they're not going to have any problems. They're not going to have any injuries. They're not going to have – all they're going to do is win every week, and they never do that, just so you know.
How about we crawl to like 8 or 9 this year and start there? And,
right, but they, try, but you know. People just think they're going to the Super Bowl and they never get it done. So I've heard all about how great they are, and basically I'm laughing. So let's see them do it. You know, now that the expectations are around 11 or 12 games, let's see them do it. Let's see them win 10. Let's see them win 9. I want to see them do it because right now everybody's got them penciled in for the Super Bowl. They couldn't beat the if you ask me, they couldn't beat the Patriots or the Chiefs right now if they tried. I mean, seriously. Would you pick them over the Patriots or the Chiefs?
Absolutely not.
So there you go. So
and,
you,
and I could probably find about two or three other teams in the AFC.
Do you think they'll win their, the North?
I want to get through the draft first.
Do you think they'll win the division? I don't even think they can do that.
Let's see. I like getting through the draft before I then. By then, we know who's going to be what the complete teams are going to be.
So next week on this same night, Thursday night, we usually start at 10 every night. Next Thursday is that one show every year where we don't do the show until midnight. So next Thursday night into Friday morning. So basically, when the clock strikes midnight on Friday morning, we're on. So basically, you know, 12 to 2 next Thursday night, late night into Friday morning. Because that's the night of the draft, and they always have us come in here and do the show at midnight for some reason. For Carver High and Mavi and Pharrell, gonna.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.